Welcome everyone to the Transformational Leadership Dialogue for May, and people are continuing to pop in, and a few people popped out, I guess, as there was silence there, so sorry about that. I'm Alan Seale from the Center for Transformational Presence at transformationalpresence.org, and I'm here with my colleague and wonderful friend David Robinson from trulypowerful.com, and thank you, David, for being here, and thanks everyone for joining us today. The purpose of these dialogues is really to explore new paradigms of leadership, and whether that's in community or business or government, society, at whatever level, and discover approaches, ways of thinking, fundamental shifts in perception that can help shape leadership in service of a greater good. We have lots of topics in mind for future calls, and we'd also would love to hear from you if there are particular topics you would love for us to explore. Please just send an email to me at alanseale@alanseale.com or to david@trulypowerful.com. So let's get started with today's topic. The topic is embracing the wolf, discomfort as a catalyst for change. And maybe David, because this kind of comes out of some story work that you do, and it comes out of a recent call when this whole idea of the wolf came up in the conversations. On the last month's call, we were dealing with resistance and how do we work with resistance. And with resistance, we discover the wolf, or that fear, that doubt, that resistance, that thing that's scaring us and keeping us from moving forward, whether it's in our own lives or with our clients or in our leadership. And so, David, maybe you can talk a little bit about this just to get us started here.
Yeah, you know what I appreciate about your introduction, Alan, was that we actually took on this topic because of one of the participants in our last call wrote us an email that said, you know, you brought up this thing about embracing the wolf, and I would really love to know more about that because of what's going on in my organization and my life, and gave us some lovely thoughts about, you know, how that was impacting his thinking about his work. So, as Alan said, this is actually a story concept, and it's the wolf because it's the wolf from Little Red Riding Hood. And if you think about it, the one character in this story of Red Riding Hood that is necessary is the wolf in order to make the story move forward. And it's an important concept when you start applying it to your life or to your business, because oftentimes we will try to eliminate the wolf from our story. We'll try to minimize it as opposed to work with it and sort of allow the fuel that it brings or the capacity for it to move us forward, to work with that energy as opposed to block it or try to eliminate it. So when we talk about, you know, embracing the wolf, it's really about identifying what is this thing in your life that you're that's bringing you discomfort or throwing you off balance. It looks like a conflict, feels like doubt. How can you work with that energy or with whatever that is in your specific context, so that it becomes a catalyst for movement as opposed to a reason for blocking? I think one of the things that I don't know if this is true with you, Alan, but I know that definitely for me, working with groups and in organizations, I find that there's a lot of investment in keeping things in stasis or in equilibrium all of the time. You know, that there's a lot of energy. We put out a lot of energy in making sure that the comfort zone is maintained. And
yeah, I would say, you know, even more than keeping things in stasis, it's and in equilibrium, it's just making sure everybody stays comfortable. And
right.
And how when we are so busy staying in that comfort zone, or then another step beyond that, if we're busy just trying to fix something as quickly as possible, so that we can get back to that comfort zone, whatever that is, getting rid of the wolf or fixing the wolf, fixing the problem, then we aren't really moving forward. We aren't getting anywhere.
Yeah, and I think that what's really important for that, you know, we're talking about movement and growth and change, and all of those things actually require us to get out of the comfort zone. So by maintaining that stasis or that balance, we literally keep ourselves from growing.
You know, it's interesting
out of the cycles of growth.
As you say that, David, I get this picture of a boundary, that if we're staying within our comfort zone, and if we think about everything we talk all the time about, life is energy in motion and leadership is energy in motion, if we think about those little boundaries that we create for our comfort zone, we don't have much room to move around then, unless your comfort zone is really, really, really wide. And certainly for most organizations, the comfort zone is not so wide, and for many individuals, it's not so wide. So staying in that comfort zone means we can't move around very much, and if we can't move around very much, then there's nothing to allow us to experience something new. So when we are willing to step outside of the comfort zone, all of a sudden we have a lot more room to play in and explore in and learn and grow in.
You know what I appreciate about that is that's this will sound counterintuitive, but that's exactly what keeps us in the comfort zone. The idea of stepping out, to step out into the unknown.
Yeah.
Step out into the place where you have a lot of potential movement, a lot of space, requires you to kind of leave a known safety and to challenge those, you know, the assumptions that you have that keep you in that confined space.
Yeah. You know, I feel like as we're talking about all this, the wolf and the thing that keeps us trapped, because ultimately that's what we're looking at today, is what is that that wolf that is barking at the door that keeps us locked in the house or whatever, in that safe space. I'm kind of feeling like telling the story of what's happened for me the last couple of days around exactly this. Does that work for you, David?
Absolutely.
And it's so tied to this call because it all has to do with the registration for this call. Some of you registered quite a long time ago and did that through the website or my newsletter, so there was no problem. But we sent a special mailing out on Monday or Tuesday, just announcing this call again. And about a half an hour after the mailing went out, I got the first email from someone saying, the links aren't working on this. And I thought, oh, that's strange. My assistant is really very, very careful about making sure that links always work for everything that goes out. She's very meticulous about those kinds of things. So, but I emailed her immediately and said, can you check this and see what the problem is? Well, then about a half an hour after that, I got another email from the service provider that I use for those big mailings, informing me that there had been a serious complaint about spam for my account, and therefore they were canceling my account. And this was just, here was suddenly the wolf at the door. It's like, oh my gosh, what do I do with this? Big fear, big doubt, and also complete lack of understanding. Because in all the years that I've been doing this work and sending big mailings, I've never had a spam report. And I'm really, really careful about my list. And so I called them up and I said, you know, what can we do about this? If you look back over my records, there's never been spam reports. And so I don't understand this. And they explained to me that it had been reported to one of those monitoring websites, and now I was blacklisted, and therefore they couldn't handle my account. They told me I could try to change that, so I did. I went to the website and got myself off the blacklist and came back to them, and they said, well, sorry, but it's still too big of a risk. We can't continue your account. And so everything was locked. Everything was frozen. There was no way to repair that email. There was no way now to be in touch with my whole list. And so there was this big confusion of what do I do next and where do I go. But then I realized, so here's the wolf in the story of what I thought the wolf was them telling me, we can no longer keep your account. But what I realized was the wolf was giving me this big gift, and maybe it was a different wolf after all, because I've been looking at the next steps in my organization and in my work and how we take things to a whole other level, and knowing that it was soon going to be time to move to a different service provider for that, as well as really taking many of my things up to the next level. And so here it was, the opportunity. I actually have to do something now. And so sitting with that and being with that, this has been an incredible gift that this service provider has given me by shutting down my account, because that's been the catalyst to move it and make me, I had no choice now, but to step ahead into the next level, to bring all those other services in. The fears come up about, oh my gosh, that's a lot bigger financial investment, that's a lot bigger, you're going to bring another staff member on board, you're going to, all these things. And yet at the same time, something was just saying, you know what, it's time. And this has just been the catalyst to take you on a cross. So there's an example of here, what we're talking about, of here comes the wolf. And even at the first place, I thought the wolf was just this awful, mean service provider who was canceling my account. And then I realized, no, the wolf is really this fear that I have of going to the next level and invest in making the investments necessary. Yet when I sat with that, you know what? It's just time. Do it.
You know what I love about that story is that it required, I mean, two or three times as you spoke, it was about stepping into a fear of, am I ready? A fear of, oh, you know, this is more money. Can I, you know, is this the right thing? The fear of, is this the direction that I really need to go? And that a lot of times that is exactly the role of the wolf.
Mm-hmm.
To propel you into that place. Because once you get into it, then you can work with it. And
yeah.
it's never the monster that you think it is.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah, and today yeah. I'm sitting in it and going, okay, so there's a lot of work ahead now to move everything over and to create these whole new systems. And so there's a big but yet I feel so peaceful inside about it. It's like, mm-hmm. Of course, this is the right step. You just do it.
I think, you know, this is especially true, I think, in organizations, or at least the, you know, common in organizations that I've worked in, that the idea that discomfort indicates that something's wrong, that we're doing something wrong if we're uncomfortable, or we're doing something wrong if there's a creative conflict. And over and over and over again, to me, it's just as you were, you know, your story kind of illustrates, that discomfort often is the sign that something's right. It's just not comfortable. And we
it's taking you to some place you haven't. It's taking you to some place you haven't been before. And that's why it's, you know, that's part of why it's not comfortable. You just haven't been there before.
We have this conservative impulse, and it's stronger in us than we know. And even though we talk about change, or we talk about growth, or we desire movement, or we want more adventure, or we want to step into life more fully, a lot of times that requires, well, all the time, that requires discomfort. And the minute we become uncomfortable, our first impulse is to run back to what we know. And so there's a dance of hitting the discomfort and running back to what you know, and hitting the discomfort and running back to what you know, until that wolf shows up. And then there's no going back.
You know, when we come to that Little Red Riding Hood story, it's Little Red Riding Hood setting out on her journey. She just wants to go see her grandmother, you know? That's what she is feeling called to today. It's what she thinks she's supposed to do. And then along the way comes the wolf. And the wolf then is trying to do everything to keep her from going there. The wolf is going to eat her up, all those parts of the story. And so then it invites us to look at, here we are doing what we think we're supposed to do, or perhaps running away from what we think we're supposed to do. Then something happens. Something shows up, whether that's a fear or a doubt or a resistance, or in the case of yesterday, it's actually a situation or a circumstance that suddenly threw itself in my face and forced the issue. So how can we look at that, David, kind of experientially with everybody together to explore that? For what that, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for our clients?
Yeah, you know, I want to take you through, I want to do a little writing because there's, well, there are two things. One is just to back up a step because I think what you just said, Alan, is so important that, you know, in the original tale of Red Riding Hood, there was no happy woodsman at the end to come and that was an invention of the Brothers Grimm to make it more of a children's story. And that, in fact, the wolf in the story represents time. That every little girl that sets out on the path will end up at grandma's house. And every little boy who sets out on the path will end up at grandpa's house. And that the role of the wolf in the story is to get you off the direct path. That the wolf encourages Red Riding Hood to go smell the roses. To get off the straight path and to experience life a little bit because the wolf time is going to eat us all. And so that was the original message of that story. This wolf is there to help open you up to life. And it's this yearning for life that is actually the yearning and the wolf are connected, and that's what I want to walk into with us. There is a terrific writer.
Can I just press pause for a second, David? Because there's something really important that you're saying here about that. To come back to the wolf is here to open us up to life. That's and I just feel like we need to let that sink in for a minute because we don't think about our fears as being here to open us. We think about our fears as being here to shut us down and our doubt and our resistance. So I just want to say those words again because that was so important what you just said, that the wolf is here to open us up, to invite us actually to a bigger experience of life. Sorry, I just needed to say that again because it felt so powerful to me when you said that.
No, I think, I actually think that when we really orient ourselves to the idea that the fears that we carry are actually there to help us, they're not there to stop us. When we run from them, they stop us, and we all run from them. But the point of every story is a story of transformation, and the transformation is always a story of walking into a fear or walking into an unknown. And the point of all of that is to give you a greater experience of life, to open you. And this, you know, this little tale of Red Riding Hood is just so containable. You know, it's very easy to see when you know how to see it. so the sort of point of opening us to life, that's sort of the central yearning I think that we all carry, is this experience of greater and greater openness to our lives. And there is a writer named Robert Olin Butler who has a definition for story that I think speaks to this relationship between the wolf and the yearning. And he says that a really good story happens when your yearning meets an obstacle. That's when the story happens. That's when the capacity for change and transformation appears, when the yearning meets the obstacle. So to really recognize what your wolf is, you also first have to know what your yearning is. And so what I'd like to do is just take a minute, and if you don't have something to write with, grab something, some paper and some pen. And I want you to write for 2 minutes as a focused free write, which means put your pencil or pen on the paper and keep writing. Don't stop. Your grammar doesn't matter. Punctuation doesn't matter. Just let yourself write freely and see what comes up. a reflective process. And what
about
I want you to
yearning.
Write about, pardon?
Yeah, I was just about your yearning. That's the idea.
Yeah.
Writing about
so,
our yearning, yeah.
Right. So in the context of your life or your work, write about what's your yearning. And we'll be quiet for about 2 minutes, and then we'll come back. So just push pause for a moment and look over what you've written. See if there's a phrase or a word that jumps out to you and circle it. And then take just another minute and write about that phrase, that hot spot, that phrase or that word that you just circled. Take another minute and write about that. And push pause with that. Take a moment to just review everything that you've written about yearning. We often lose our yearnings as we start to focus on our obstacles. But to really understand your wolf, you have to get clear on your yearning.
What it is that you are dreaming about, what it is that you are feeling called to. What is yours to live?
Now that you've done some writing about your yearning or this dreaming, take the same process, just 2 minutes, focus, free write. What's your wolf? Identify your wolf in relationship to your yearning. And push pause with that. Read over what you've written and see if you can capture what are the assumptions that you're making about your wolf. What do you believe or assume about your wolf? And we'll give you just one more minute to identify those things. What are the things you actually believe or assume about this wolf? What makes it a wolf? Now look at what you've written, look at your yearning, look at what you've identified as your wolf, and ask yourself this question, what's the greatest gift, or what's the greatest potential waiting to happen that this wolf brings to you? There's a breakthrough. What is the breakthrough that's available given the relationship between your yearning and your wolf?
You don't have to know how you're going to make the breakthrough. Notice, what is the breakthrough that's being asked for here that can really help me step into the bigger life?
there's some commitment. There's some commitment to action or idea that this breakthrough is pointing you towards or asking you to make. Again, as Alan said, you don't have to know how. They're a commitment to yourself. Comes with the gift of the wolf. And then as you think about this breakthrough, in order for it to happen, in order to make this commitment, what must be the focus of your thoughts or your actions over the next month? What must be the focus of your thought and your action for the next week? You're really going to embrace the wolf. Step to this greatest potential. What's the focus of your thought and your action today? Where can you place your focus today? So with those questions and the identification of your yearning and your wolf, it's important to really recognize, I think, that it's, you know, we live in a very fast-paced world and lives that are more intense, I think, than the people that left us some of these stories. And I think it's very easy for us in that pace and that intensity to lose sight of what we yearn to create and instead place our focus on our obstacles or what's in the way. You know, wolf appears because we lose sight of our yearning. The wolf isn't necessarily, being stuck in traffic is an obstacle. Having a flat tire is an obstacle. The wolf is something that propels you toward a greater opening of your life. As, you know, we talked about with Red Riding Hood earlier. But sometimes, you know, what you need to, in order to shift your energy or to sort of get back on the path of manifesting what you want, all that's required is a shift of your focus off of the obstacle and back on to what you want to create. Off of what you're trying to get out of life and back onto what you bring to it.
So, David, shall we open it up a little bit here and invite some of our participants to share with us what are you discovering about a process here of working with your yearning and your wolf?
Let's do it.
In order to speak, just press 1 on your phone, and then I'll see your hand go up here on the dashboard and give you a microphone. It would be great to hear from some of you. You can share a little bit about the story if you wish, just a sentence or two about that, but what will really serve the learning for all of us here is, what are you learning about this concept of the wolf and the yearning, using the wolf as a catalyst? Who can speak? Don't be shy. We have Sylvia, and I'm giving you the microphone. You have the microphone, Sylvia.
Okay, thank you. I just cannot believe how timely this conversation is for me. I just came from a workshop where story was a part of the focus and also the spiral dynamics model. And I'm really understanding metaphor much more deeply and understanding the power of it. And I juxtapose that with a coaching. I'm a coach, and a session that I had on Monday, which was the most difficult coaching session I've ever had, with a woman who was meeting a big obstacle, several actually. And you know, realizing, I think, the wolf there was I felt in some way inadequate because she was very emotional and was wanting something that I could see was really not what was needed and almost demanding it out of emotion, she was. And she left very upset with me because I, in her viewpoint, could not give her what she wanted in that moment.
So what are you discovering here?
What I'm discovering is that my wolf is trying to show me something, that there's a time for a shift for me. And I've known it for some time, but it's like, it's funny how the wolf will really take a bite out of you sometimes to really get your attention, I think, that something else is wanting to happen. And I think what it is a shift of what it is my offering is out there. And how best I can help someone. I've been feeling for some time that I want to write. I'm also a singer and recording artist, and there's some things I've been studying voice very deeply, and it just feels like there's life is really getting my attention to say there's some things that want to be created now to reshape my offering out there in the world. And I'm really getting the message now. And the wolf is really my friend, you know. But you know, it will be painful if you don't listen.
Yeah, that's great. It will be painful if you don't listen. And that's such an important piece for us here to recognize that if we'll just pay attention, this does not have to be a painful process. And we talk so much in transformational presence work. We're always talking about co-creating and how every single thing that comes along is our co-creative partner. The wolf is just the co-creative partner that's showing up right now for this.
Yes.
Thank you for that, Sylvia. Let's go to Darlene and let me give you the microphone. Darlene, you have a mic.
Yes, good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Thank you for this. And as we began this whole exercise and this discussion, what came to my mind, Alan, was your disco model.
Mm.
And I mean, I use it daily, and it's something that as we talked about this, the whole idea of, you know, started getting past the drama of what happens in life and past the situation. And as women, we know this better probably than most men, that women always want to just fix things and just stay in the status quo, in the comfort zone. And so I'm learning in my own self-journey, in my own self-awareness that, you know, that's not where the solution lies. It's about going beyond that and looking, you know, what is really wanting to happen here and what's my role in this? And so that has been so powerful for me. And taking this analogy of putting the wolf into the conversation brings it even more to a, like, look, there's so much that wants to happen here, but you're not paying attention to it. You're just trying to fix things always, or you're avoiding things to stay in the status quo, or you're using excuses. So I just wanted to relate that, bring that in, because for me, that kind of tied it all together. And I had an opportunity last weekend at a symposium that I was at in Calgary to actually, the last speaker of the day was Eckhart Tolle, and oh my gosh, it was just amazing. And I just thought about the similarities in his work and his writing and the work that you do at Transformational Leadership. And for me, I'd like to explore further how to take this in these calls and things, how to take this to larger organizations and from that leadership perspective. It's one thing when we look at this from each of our own perspective, but then how do you make those changes, and how can we as coaches and leaders take this to organizations that we work with and work in? So thank you. Awesome call.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I one thing that you said, Darlene, that I just loved the way you said it, which was to invite the wolf into the conversation. Yes, so we talk about the wolf as the co-creative partner. We talk about we can't chase the wolf away. We talk about seeing what the wolf needs to, what does the wolf have to say, or what's the message it brings. But the way you said that, just invite the wolf into the conversation. Let it be so normal. And that's a really important thing for us to embrace here, is that the wolf is just another character in the story, and in fact we need all the characters in the story in order for the story to move forward. And in fact, as David points out, that if there wasn't a wolf, there wouldn't really be a story in the case of Little Red Riding Hood. And so, therefore, the wolf is actually a really important part of the conversation. And so I just loved how you said that. Thank you. Who else would like to share with us? What are you discovering about the wolf and the yearning and a co-creative process here? I'm going to give the microphone to Tim. Tim, you have the mic.
Hi, Alan. Thanks. You know, what really occurred for me in it is that the wolf got smaller as I focused on the yearning. And, you know, the wolf kind of did its purpose by bringing up the issue and focusing on him, but then he got smaller as the yearning started to take shape more.
Mm-hmm. That's it's huge what you're saying, Tim, because as soon as you invite the wolf into the conversation, as soon as you look the wolf in the eye and ask it what it needs, you've just taken your power back. But while you're letting the wolf be the wolf over there, scaring you and trying to chase it away or trying to avoid it, you keep giving the wolf power. So it's beautiful what you're saying here, that just inviting it in, being willing to be with it, it starts to get smaller. You are gaining your power back there. It's wonderful.
You know, Alan, I actually love that language about gaining your power back. And Tim, I think you hit it right on the head. It's about where you place your focus. We have your focus placement is like a camera. You can focus it, or a flashlight. You focus it at the wolf, and what you see is a huge wolf. You focus it at your yearning, and what you see is your yearning. And a lot of times, our yearnings we feel inside, and we project our wolves outside. You know, there's a dance about where you place your focus and what ultimately then becomes your driver, or giving context to your life in that sense.
I remember one day in a class, transformational presence, leadership and coaching class, David, you said, at the end of the day, all we really have is where we choose to put our focus. And that stuck with me so powerfully, that where we choose to put our focus determines everything.
It's the first creative act, I think. You know, It's the beginning of creating the story that you tell is where you decide to place your focus.
Peter also would like to speak. Peter, you have a microphone.
Thank you, Alan. There are a number of prefaces that I'd like to make. For many wolves, it's very, very, very difficult to look at it as a co-creator, because the wolf itself will propel you forward once you're able to recognize it as a wolf. So that to recognize it as a wolf, it has to become awareness, and to get it to a place of awareness, we very often need some help, either in part of a coach or a therapist or a counselor or something like that, to someone like that to help us get there. And this is a journey that many people have taken. It reminds me of Joseph Campbell's The Hero with a thousand Faces, where he's delving into facing his wolf. And for us, it's facing out. If some people understand the word gremlin or other kinds of issues. With respect to my issue, I'm trying to write a workshop for people with chronic fatigue syndrome. And what I sat down and did was to think about what people with chronic fatigue syndrome view as their wolf. And most of the time they look at it as someone that has, they look at themselves as someone that's hopeless, that's helpless, that doesn't have energy, which physiologically is true. But most of all, they look at themselves as a victim. And looking at themselves as a victim,